In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today we celebrate the apodosis, or end date, of the feast of the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. Now, this is a much misunderstood feast. Probably, I would venture to say that this is probably the most misunderstood feast of all of the great feasts. People don't understand what it's about. They don't get why we're really celebrating it. But as in all things in the church, there is very good reason. And perhaps we should start with, well, what exactly was the temple that it was so important that it be entered into? Well, of course, you remember back when David, who first had perhaps dreams of the temple, was essentially commanded to set up a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was, well, it's a lot like what we've got here with these curtains all around us because it was meant to travel through the wilderness. And so David set up this tabernacle, and inside there was the Holy of Holies, in which was placed the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the jar of manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the Ten Commandments written on the two stone tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain. Well, it was David's son Solomon that actually succeeded in building the first temple. But that temple was not to last. King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. Well, there was a second temple that was then built after the completion of the Babylonian exile when the Jews returned to their homeland. And in this case, it was through the intercessions of the prophet Zacharias and Haggai that inspired this temple to be built. But yet that one, too, ended up being destroyed. And so by the time we get to the Virgin Mary entering the temple and the life of Christ, there was a third temple that was there, built on the same place or in the same general area as the other two. But it was probably twice as large as what Solomon's temple looked like. It was King Herod who actually put this temple up. And so it's this temple to which the Virgin Mary, from the age of 3, because her parents Joachim and Anna had both decided that they were going to dedicate their daughter to God, she entered this temple at the age of 3. And she would stay there for the next 12 years, right until the time of the Annunciation, when she was around the age of 15. Now, even in the temple, there were different areas. For instance, on the outside, it was called the Court of the Gentiles, or the Court of the Pagans. And then once you got inside the temple was the Court of Women. And the next room inside that was the Court of the Men. If you went further into it, you had the Court of the Priests. And in there you would have where sacrifices were all offered and this sort of thing. The next room in, you would have the area where the incense and the seven-branch candlestick were kept. And then you had an ascent of steps that went high up. In fact, this ascent is called in Greek the anabothmi. And the anabothmi is actually something that we have kept ourselves in the Orthros service, because it's called the hymn of ascents, and that's what it refers to. And at the top of these steps was the Holy of Holies, which the high priest entered only once a year. Now, in this case, the high priest was also named Zacharias at this time, and he was given to know from the Lord that this girl that Joachim and Anna were dedicating to the service of the Lord was someone special. And so she spent these years within the Holy of Holies. She was fed miraculously by an angel, and she slowly grew in God. And she grew such that she became divinized, attained theosis at a very, very early age. And so we think, well, all this happened. Okay, that's great. What does it show us? Well, it shows us that the things that are holy to God are prepared slowly and with great care, as Mary was during all of this time. But we also have to look at this feast from another angle, because we not only explore the feast of the church from the standpoint of history, which of course they are, this is something that really happened, but we also explore it theologically. And so what is the meaning of this, of her entry into the temple? And it's actually something that is very, very clear. It is again an image of our path to theosis. Whereas purification would be those that were outside, that were approaching the temple. And then illumination, gradually moving through the various rooms of the temple, until finally you get to the Holy of Holies, where theosis is achieved. And so the entire imagery of the temple is actually an image of our progress in God. In fact, she who entered the temple was greater than the temple itself. It's not that she was sanctified by going into the Holy of Holies, but as St. Gregory Palamas tells us, the Holy of Holies, the temple itself, was sanctified by Mary's entrance into it, because she is the one that would bear the uncontainable God. It's an astounding thing when you think of it. But everything that we see in the Old Testament, and one of the fathers actually called Mary the living Old Testament, because all of the Old Testament was wrapped up in her person. Everything that we see in the Old Testament has meaning behind it. It's not just something that's haphazard, but there is a more profound and more serious set of information that goes along with it. And so in celebrating this entry of the Mother of God into the temple, we are actually seeing the fulfillment of a type, because the type was the tabernacle in the wilderness, to be succeeded by the temple itself. And then Mary, the true and living temple, comes and fulfills everything that had been imperfect to that point. Why was it imperfect? Because it had been destroyed twice. And it would be destroyed three times after the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Lord himself even referred to the temple and the temple of his own body when he said, "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again," showing the imperfections of the temple made by man. Because they asked him, they said, "Well, what do you mean? It took us 40 years to build this temple. How can he raise it again in 3 days? Because they didn't understand. But so the Theotokos entering into this Holy of Holies, she is actually entering into the place that was created for her. Because as the Holy of Holies contained these sacred items to the Jews in the Ark of the Covenant, she is the living Ark of the Covenant. And she now goes in there because that is her place to be. That is what God had created for her. So you see that preparation is indeed important in all things in the spiritual life. We see that again even in today's gospel, because the rich young man that comes to the Lord feeling that he had kept the things, the imperfect things of the law, the imperfect things of the temple, he asked the Lord, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Lord says, "Well, you know the commandments." And he lists off six of the commandments that you know that you have to do. And the man says, "I've done all of these things since my youth. I've done all of these things." And the Lord, knowing that this man had not prepared properly, what does he say? "Well, one thing you lack." And he's probably thinking under his breath, and it's a big one. "Go, sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and come, follow me." And of course, this man was greatly distressed, because he wasn't about to give up all of the riches that he had attained, because that's what was keeping him from following Christ. Even today, in all of our lives, we do the same thing, because we think that somehow following Christ means just some, you know, making a profession or saying the creed or doing something like this, and we're following him. But no, we see here that the Lord lays down prerequisites for following him. There are things that have to be done, just as there were things that Mary had to do in order to become deified, to attain theosis. So this young man, too, had things that had to be done before he would even be allowed to follow the Lord. Because the Lord said, do these things first. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and come follow me. He didn't say that first. He didn't say, well, you know, follow me, and then as we go along, perhaps you can give some things to the poor, you know, or share your riches or something like that. No, he looked into this man's heart, and he knew right then that there was this one thing that was going to have to be satisfied before he would even be allowed to come follow the Lord. We find that in our own lives, don't we? I mean, what are the things that are keeping us from theosis? Not even theosis. Not even illumination. Purification. The three stages are the process to theosis. Purification, illumination, and then finally theosis. The fathers of the church say that this is even reflected in the clerical orders of the church. The deacon representing purification because he spends much of his time outside of the altar. The priest representing illumination because he is inside the altar before the holy table. And then the bishop representing theosis because he is actually the one that stands in the place of Christ. We must all go through these stages. Purification is the one that is the most difficult, that we spend most of our time with. And at the same time, as the Lord told the man today, there are things that have to be done before we can even call ourselves followers of Christ. How did he call many of the apostles? He simply said, come, follow me. Because he knew the apostles. He knew their hearts. He knew where they were. He knew that they would zip through these stages to become deified, which indeed all of them did. But for most of us, there are too many other little things that are standing in the way, that are keeping us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't even have to go through them. You all know them. There's so many. You find them in your daily lives. Things that come up, things that keep you from praying, things that keep you from attending church, things that keep you from confessing your sins, things that keep you from really loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. These are the things that we have to scrape out of the way so that we will be able to properly follow the Lord. Because the devil is going to try and throw things in your way constantly. Constantly. All kinds of things coming out of nowhere in all of our lives. And we know this because we've seen it. And sometimes even when we've had the highest or greatest spiritual experiences in our lives, we're just an hour away from something bad happening to wreck it. Because the devil hates that. He hates it. He hates any kind of spiritual exaltation. He hates repentance. He hates anyone who wants to try and draw near to the Lord. He doesn't want that to happen. And so we have to cooperate with the Lord. We have to cooperate with his calling, which says to us, follow me, but first, get rid of all the clutter. You can't walk through a cluttered house without running into something. I know, because of my house. And you've got to be very careful. You have to move things out of the way so that you will have a clear and straight path, the same way that the Mother of God had when she entered into the temple. Because when she came, Joachim and Anna also called all of the young women that were in the area to come and light candles so that they would go before the Mother of God, who came willingly and went dancing up the steps because she was so excited. And why did they wait until 3 years old? Well, Joachim and Anna were afraid that she would miss them too much because, in fact, they reposed 3 years before she left the temple. But by the time she was 3 years old, she had cultivated such a love of God, and probably through the godly instruction of her own parents, that she went joyfully into the temple. There was nothing in her way because she was prepared even at that young age. We have to look at her for an example of how to do this, a single-minded focus on God, a single-minded focus on the things that he calls us to, and a single-minded focus on the result of all this. Because we all want to achieve deification. We all want to become the things that God gives us. We don't know what happened to this rich man. Did he turn years later and come back to Christ? We have no idea. We have no idea. But the story itself is a rather sad one. And even the gospel portrays it as such. Because this man who is letting things of the earth get in his way of salvation. We don't want to do that. My dear brothers and sisters, we don't want to do that. And as time goes by, it's going to get more difficult for us. Things are not going to get easier. The Lord told us that. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And we have to be putting God before all things in our life. By the prayers of His most holy and all pure and blameless Mother, may that happen with each of us. Amen.